Oh, hallelujah. Out of Philippians this morning, or this afternoon, excuse me, chapter number 2. I had some things written down. I went upstairs to change shirts this afternoon and began to pray. God drew me what I wrote a few thoughts down last Sunday morning, sitting on the pew at the church. And we sang about the cross today. We sung about the cross here and again today. And want to take our minds to that place today, just for a little while, if we could. Philippians chapter 2, again, ask Brother Woods to ask the blessing over the reading of the Word.
Hallelujah. God, again, we are here in your name, and we are mighty, mighty thankful for everything you've done. We had a good service, Lord.
Oh, God, your presence.
This morning, a good meal, Lord, this afternoon, and we're grateful for your bounty.
Oh,
and here we are at your table, again, Lord, to have that man from heaven.
God.
We need that manna, Lord, that it's going to be put down in our hearts and our lives and our soul, that we may live by. We don't live by bread alone, but the words that come from your mouth, that's what we live by. We ask you again to touch our brother as you anoint him this morning. And have that same unction, Lord. Let that word come with the same ability to penetrate and grip our hearts, Lord. We need you. And we put our confidence in you. You know where we are today and what we need. And we trust you, Lord, to speak to us where we are. In Christ's name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, Philippians chapter 2, we're reading at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. It's a comma there in my Bible. Sure it is in yours. I like what this sign says out here. Death is not a period, but a comma. Not talking about, they could have ended the sentence here, could have ended it there. But he says, even the death of the cross. Amen. Amen. You may be seated today if you'd like. You know, for many in the world, the cross is just a symbol. It's just a sign. You know, I go down the road, you see the bumper sticker. For some reason, I don't know if it's actually more of them now, if I'm just seeing it more. That symbol that says coexist. You seen it? You know, it's got the crescent moon, and then it's got the Star of David, and all these, and the cross. And then what they're trying to say, everybody just needs to get along. Well, if you take the cross and make it a symbol, I guess you can try to do that. If all it is a marker, if it's just a some faraway replica or some faraway representation, then I guess you can do that. And I heard some people, I couldn't get close enough to make any comment, but a couple of days ago I heard them trying to define or talk about what that bumper sticker means. They were talking about it. Someone said, I guess it just means they want everybody to get along, and they all should get along. Well, if they really understood, and I wish I'd have had an opportunity to explain to them why that sticker just won't work. It just won't work. You see, there's one symbol on that would accept all others and bring them to them. The cross would. What Christ represents would take all of those and say, if you'll just come to me, we can join together. That's the one would. Yes, he would.
Yeah.
But you see, when the cross becomes that faraway, distant sign or remembrance in our life, we lose what it really means.
Come on,
I know I'm going to struggle with my voice again this afternoon, I think, but I'll do the best I can. But you know, if we work our way back towards the cross, said this morning and say it often, doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You know, when you were first saved, we've been given the best gift. I know there's more fullness. I know there's the Holy Ghost. I know there's victories and joys and things that add to our life richness. But in that moment when we become from sinner and He washes us and makes us new, we have received the gift of eternal life. We have received it. A man, a drunkard can wander through those doors this afternoon, take his breath outside and go to hell, but find his way to an altar and pray. Take his last breath there and find his way to heaven. He has received the most glorious gift a man or a woman could ever, ever receive. And we can never take that to a place in our life where we allow ourselves to toy with it. Allow ourselves to be not what it is. The cross was the most beautiful and the most awful thing the world has ever seen. To the mind of Christ, he says, Paul is writing here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Yeah. What mind was that? I am now a servant. Yes. I'm a servant to the will of the Father. I am a servant to His desire. I am a servant to know that it is my job. It is my, if you want to put it that way, it is on my shoulders. The salvation and the fullness of sacrifice for sin is offered. It is upon me, and I'll take it and I'll bear that burden. See, it wasn't new to Him. From the foundations of the world, we know it was already decided. When Adam was enjoying the smells of that garden before he fell, it was already decided. God knew. And Jesus had already been submitted to the death of the cross. Oh, man did not design it for him. God knew that it was coming. All the way down through the ages, God didn't come up with it. It was designed before Adam breathed. The fall, the frailty of the flesh, God knew what it would be. And we can't explain it and we can't understand it. And I've heard men argue or men talk about, well, why would God design a system? Why would God decide that He would have to design something that would fail and that He would have to send His Son and have that awful, awful sacrifice? Why would God do that? My answer is, I do not know. He's God. He's God is the only answer. And He tells us His ways are far and above our ways. That His mind is far and above our ways. I don't know what the year 1,300,003 has in store. But God does. He knows what He's going to be doing. I just want to be there. I just know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Our minds can't measure it. Our minds can't grasp those spans of time that God lives in. Huh. When He says, He said, I am. I am the I am. What Jesus said when He came, I am. Yeah. He just has been, and He's always, and He will be there. He was always there. Every moment, every breath, every heartbeat, the Lord has always been there. And He is reaching for the souls of men. Amen. The cross was the day and the horrible hour that the fullness of the sacrifice was met. That the outreach for humanity would say, this is how much I love you. All the way up to then, He was telling man, I love you, but you bring your sacrifice. You bring it to me. I'll tell you what to do that it's acceptable, but you bring it. This day, that day, He said, I'll show you how much I love you. Not so much that I sent my Son. Not so much that He had to lay in that manger. Not so much that He had to breathe and hear the mockings of this world. No, that's not enough. That it would be the death of the cross. That was the only answer for me. Put your name in that spot. You're no better than anybody else. I'm no better than anybody else. I needed that day. I have no justification in myself. I have no hope within me. I have nothing to bring to Him that says I am worthy, Lord, of You omitting my sins and erasing my failures. I don't have that. But I have an intercessor that says, Father, I bore that burden. I bore that cross. I endured that pain. And I am interceding for him. And my blood covered that sin. My blood covered that accusation. The devil's going before the throne, the Bible says, to still accuse the saints. But the Lord can say, I died for that sin. They called upon me back there. I've erased that. It's not chargeable against them anymore. And they are free. They are free men. They are free women to serve. And they are going to be free to enter in. Oh, we talk, sing that song and talk about, oh, I'm not going to turn back now. If we really knew how close this thing was to coming around again, how close the end is pressing upon us, oh, we would get. You talk to runners, and Paul many times compared, calling this a race and the runners and finishing. If the runner can see that finish line, there's some new zeal. There's some new burst. There's some new energy. On the backside of that track, they just had to know it was out there. But when they round that last turn, they haven't finished yet, but they can now see the end. I'll tell you, if we'll put our eyes in the right direction, if we'll turn our hearts in the right direction, we can feel that last turn coming and know that God is reaching, knowing that the arm of God is stretching. He's wanting all men to come unto him before that day. He's wanting all men to come in and rejoice at the foot of the cross. Walking up the hill that day toward that awful scene of Calvary, Christ hanging there on the cross. Not much different now, as I want to try to bring the analogy, I guess it is, of men and women coming closer and closer to serving Christ. That day was a day of display. That day we know they made a mocking of him. We know they lashed him. We know they set the crown of thorns upon him. We know the soldiers smacked him and made fun of him. And then there was that great procession up that awful hill. We know that men and women were gathered around there. We know that the priestly and the religious of the time were rejoicing, because this was the day that they were going to shut down and shut up this prophet, to shut up this man that had caused this stir. And they were there egging the people along. They wanted them to think this was a great day and not a sad day. As he hung there, maybe a new, this came to my mind, maybe someone wandered up toward that scene. Maybe the first thing they heard was the mocking of the men and women, or the mocking of the soldiers. If you're really Lord, if you're really King, come down from there. Save yourself. Only a few words are recorded, but he hung there for hours. We only have a snippet, as all the Bible gives us, but we know he hung there for hours. And they didn't give him a break. They had no mercy on him. So the mockings and the railings did not stop for a break for him. Because not only were they trying to destroy him, they were trying to destroy all the faith in his followers. Totally mocking him and destroying him and tearing him down in front of them. So the mocking, as we try to establish and testify the goodness of God in this world, he's heard it before. The mockings, when we say how good our God is, and they say, well, if he's so good, why are you driving that? If he's so good, why are you living there? If he's so good, why have you been so sick? They're still mocking today. He's heard it before. He's been there before. He's heard worse before. And if we can let that mind be within us, that shouldn't shut our mouths. That shouldn't make us hang our head. Say, no, God's able to let me endure. God's able to let me with joy have a testimony of strength and of faith, even though my natural surroundings may not be the pristine and what I even desire. But even out of that, I can rejoice in the Lord. I can rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, if I die in the service, it's still okay. The Lord is mine. I've gained eternity. I've gained God. If I die in the sickness and hold on to my faith, I've gained Christ. I've gained Christ. I've gained Him. I have my hope in Him. But the mockings and the railings that we so sometimes actually pull away from today, He's heard them before. He's taken them before. He's listened to them with His ears. He's watched their eyes make fun of Him. He's watched their lips and their faces mock Him. Coming close to the man walking up the hill, finally gets a glimpse of Christ. Finally gets a glimpse of that man beaten beyond recognition. From the overwhelming anguish that he sees in that hour. That's why the cross can't be something that we just stick on our cars. That's fine. That's fine. I'm not saying it's that. I said it can't be something that we just stick on our cars. It can't be something that we just look at as a sign on a pulpit or a mark on a building. Well, I don't care what denomination, if there's a cross there, that says that Christ died. That says that Christ died. That's what it says every time they mock it. Every bumper sticker says Christ died. If there was a day that history, oh, they may try to deny it, but it's still there. Every time that symbol's displayed, it does say that there was a Savior that loved this world so much. He endured the mockings, and He endured the pain and the anguish. It says it. Let them put it up, and let me say, yes, He died. It's there on that sticker. It's there on that wall because He died, because He labored, and because He loved you. He loved the mocker. He loved the one that made fun of Him that day. The anguish that He felt. He was a natural man. He took on the fullness of flesh. Every time that cat of nine tails hit that back, He felt it. Every rip that came from His skin, He felt it. Every time that fragment of bone dug into that muscle and sinew and pulled at Him, He felt it. When they draped that robe across Him, and as it probably began to dry, they took it off again, He felt that blood and that skin pull away. He felt it all. He felt it all. He wasn't exempt from a moment. Every driving of the nail through the feet, through the hands, every time that hammer hit, that cross shook and it wrecked His body. The pain, you know, if you're really in pain or you're sick, you say, I just don't want to move because everything hurts. Think about that day. Think about that day. Those soldiers had no mercy. To them, He was another assignment. To them, He was one that for some reason, you know, they carried out their duties, but for some reason, even the religious were there that day. The high priests and them, they didn't come out to common crucifixions. It wasn't a place for the high and mighty to show up. That was a disgraceful place. It was the most disgraceful way to die. And God exempted not His Son. And He'll say, I'll go all the way to the fullest of, if what we want to call embarrassment. How they disrobed Him, how they embarrassed Him, how they ripped and torn Him. But beyond the mocking, the anguish that His body felt hanging on that cross. The anguish that His spirit felt on that cross. There was a warfare. Because beyond the anguish of humanity that He was there to die for, looking in their eyes as they mocked and made fun of Him, yes, some weeping, but even His closest disciples were now far off. They weren't clinging to that cross. They weren't clinging to those feet. They weren't bawling and saying, Lord, let me die beside You. They were far away. They were in the shadows. They were away from Him. So He knows what it's like to feel alone. But beyond that, that was yet not enough. The Father Himself had to turn His back on His Son. Beyond the natural mockings, His Father, the one that He was in eternal communion with, because there that day the way of sin was set upon that Son. The darkness hid The earth, and you can find reasons. I'm sure Brother Woods may have others of why the darkness came. I don't think the Lord wanted the world to fully see in the brightness all the suffering. But God turned His back. He was there alone. The anguish of being there. Devil wants to try to get some of us to feel like we're alone and we can give up. Jesus knows what it feels like. And He knows your pain. He knows when you get to the place where you feel like in your spirit, Lord, no one understands. No one can help. I've got no one to go to. Oh, in the garden, He said He was alone. But then He said, I'm not alone. I have the Father with me. Oh, I can tell you today, I know we are not ever, ever alone. You can look around at your natural state and maybe find yourself alone sometimes. But you are not alone. There is a spirit that overshadows. There is a hand that is guarding. And if we'll believe in that and say, so I am not alone. Oh, Christ was alone. In that moment of time when the Father had to turn His back, there was one that stood alone. And it was the Son of God. And He'll sit here. He knows that feeling. He knows that feeling. And that's because of the anguish of our heart. We'll cry out to Him. He says, I know that feeling. And I'll come to you. I'll come to you. I'll come to you.
Amen.
You parents in here, you know when that child is really hurting. You know the voice when they're kind of think they're hurting and kind of faking and want some attention. But when there's a real pain, when there's a real sorrow, the cry is different. The scream is different. The voice is different. And there's something breaks in your heart. You want to get there right now to take care of it, make it right. Hey, we got that intent from God. We got that nature from God that loves you and I that much. He doesn't love like we love a child. We love a child like He loves us. He first loved us. That nature, that caring. Oh, the devil will tell you he don't care about your problems. He doesn't care about your sorrows. You might as well just turn back and leave Him. I want to tell you, hanging on that cross, He identified with loneliness. He identified with no one there could be there to wrap an arm around Him. He, in the natural, probably can remember the times that Mother Mary, as a child, wrapped Him up and took care of Him in the natural. But on that day, she could not touch Him. She could not save Him. She could not do anything for Him. He said, it must be me alone. 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 On that cross that day, as the man in my mind begins to walk closer, listening to the mocking, watching the anguish there, then he begins to hear a conversation. One thief on the side of the cross, adding to the mockings, adding to the railings. His ears turn the other side, and there's the other thief. I don't know what the man knew, but he knew something. He said, hey, we deserve this. He said, we're here of our own doing. He said, we have a reason to hang here, but not this man. I don't know what that thief had heard. I don't know what he had witnessed, but there was something in his spirit. Something inside of him that day that said, there is an innocent man between us. Don't mock him. I don't know if he read the sign. I don't know what he's seen before. But he heard enough that when he cried out for mercy, the Lord said, today you will be with me in paradise. What did the onlooker hear? He heard mercy. Hanging there on the cross, enduring pain and agony and mocking. He heard mercy. He heard mercy. Out of every reason, Christ could have said, I'm here innocent. You're guilty. You're guilty. And you deserve your end. But all it took was a cry. All it took was a call. All it took was to say, I believe what I see, that sign. You are a king. You're a ruler. You have authority. And I'm coming to you today. I'm pleading my case from this cross. Will you forgive me? I believe in who you are. And there was freely given mercy. There was freely given mercy. The one that did not deserve it. Oh, I need that same mercy that thief received. I need that same mercy that thief cried out to. I need that mercy today. The world needs that mercy today. And out of how they rail against you and mock against you and make fun of your God or make fun of your lifestyle or make fun of what you do, you stay there long enough, there may be an opportunity for them to ask you to pray. Not proud of it, but have you ever had someone that did you wrong or made fun of you or made fun of religion all of a sudden find themselves in a spot and come back to you and say, I'm sorry, but I don't know what to do. Can you pray?
Come on, brother.
Flesh says, you did me wrong. Flesh says, why should I pray for you? You made fun of me. That's what this says. That's what the tongue would say. That's what the mind would say. But Paul said, let this mind be in you. It's beyond what your flesh wants to say. That's got to be brought into subjection. The little pain we go through, the little mocking and inconvenience that we go through, and we think when someone comes to us asking us for forgiveness that we're too good to forgive. That we are too good to forgive. Have another look at that cross.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah.
That was a plea from Paul. Let this mind. That mind won't force its way in. Paul said, you've got to let it. You've got to allow it. You've got to surrender your way and your will to this mind. Because this mind is a mind this flesh cannot comprehend. The flesh cannot reason with the mind of Christ. The spirit must surrender to Him. And He said, let this mind be in you. That when they mock you, rail you, and cause you pain, that they turn to you and ask you, your hand is extended, your heart is extended, and you can say with a free spirit, I forgive you and I'll pray for you. If you find somebody today, if you can find a piece of paper and write down someone's name that you can't do that to today, you haven't seen the cross. We got to see it. Our spirit has got to get drawn there. It may have to get pulled there. Sometimes it's dragged there. But let it be dragged there to see what Christ did that we might enjoy the fullness of salvation. He hasn't asked you or I to do anything He hasn't already done. He hasn't asked you or I to go, nor will He, any place that He's not already been. Any lowness of spirit, He's already been there. Any anguish and pain, He's already been there. He doesn't ask more of you than He was willing to give. Not in any aspect. Out of that mercy. I wrote it down in this order. You could have done it differently. But I said, out of that mercy, love flowed. You could say mercy flowed out of love. But when He heard, again, I'm taking it from that passerby that came upon that scene that day. Out of hearing that mercy that may have been given that day. Listening to that, He could recognize He really must love those men. He really, showing mercy, He really must love the hearts of people. Mercy that we think we're showing mercy. We're just passing down what was given to us. We're just passing along when someone needs mercy and help and rebuilding. We're just passing along what was already given to us. It's not to esteem ourselves. Oh, beat that flesh down. Beat that mind down. It's not me that can do it. They don't deserve to come to me or for me to deserve to go to them. I'm not anybody. This flesh is not anybody. It is that love of Christ that through mercy was extended and love was shown.
Amen.
The good Samaritan, the mercy that is shown proved he had love in his heart. The mercy we have toward our enemies and those that might revile us proves the love that we have for Christ. Does it not? Am I saying anything wrong, Pastor? We go out and serve those that make fun of us. That's mercy, and it shows that we love this world. I'm not dealing with their flesh. I'm trying to reach their soul. Too many times we stop short. We try to fix their flesh. It's not our job to fix their flesh. It's our job to penetrate their hearts with the gospel. I can't change them, but I've got to make the gospel real. I've got to make the cross real. I've got to make the love that was shown real. I've got to make the mercy that He's shown me. I've got to show it real if I want to reach through that nasty flesh, through that mind, and touch the heart with one drop of love and mercy. We can't change the other things. Souls have to be left in the hands of God, but we've got to do our best to say, I'll reach past the flesh and I'll try to serve that soul. Hearing that conversation, understanding that love, his eyes look up and begins to read the transcription. King of the Jews. Pilate had some backbone in him a little bit anyway. When they went back to him and said, hey, take that down. He said, no. What I've written, I'm written. It's yours now. I'm done. I know what I've seen, know what I heard. I'm leaving it there. It's a record. Truth hung on the cross. Oh. He took the anguish. Anguish hung on the cross. Mercy hung on the cross. Love hung on the cross. But truth hung on that cross. He was King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, he was king then. He was king in eternity past. And he is king in 2003. He is the King of glory. He is the King of my heart. And he's got to be King of our lives. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And along that inscription above there was written truth that he is a king. And the kings have an authority. And when he forgave sin, it was forgiven. Yes. You tell that one that mocks you or who you used to be and won't let you forget about the wrongs you've done. You say, I went to a king and he has granted me a writ by authority. And he has erased those things from me. There's truth in this word. There's love and mercy. But when he said he would forgive my sins and make me a new creature and give me a new mind, I just chose to believe it, and I just chose to let him do it for me. That's all I did. It's the hardest thing for some people to get over. They serve God. They serve the world and been a sinner. They come in and get saved, and family and people that are supposed to be their friends just say, oh, that's not going to last. Or you're still the same person. And you're still the same one. Oh, that's just religion. That's just a name. I don't see anything different. Well, what the response should be is, give me a little time. You're going to see some things different. A new sinner, they can't prove themselves overnight. They can prove themselves by diligently serving God. By diligently serving God. People in our past may remember our wrongs, but we cannot go with any boldness or pridefulness in ourselves and say we did anything to fix it. All we can do is say, I took the remedy. I read the instruction book. Told me how to find the pieces and put them back together again. I just read the book and I chose to believe it. I chose to take mercy. I chose to take the love. And I chose to believe in the truth. And there was a cross that hung on a hill, that sat on a hill one day. And you can have it too. The cross is never ours. The cross belongs to Him.
Yes.
He tells us, take up your cross and follow me. Yeah, He's expecting us to get up under the load, to bear the burden of this world and this life, and the burden that is the gospel. We do have a cross.
Yes.
Several years ago, my uncle, good Christian man, he's gone on with the Lord today, in heaven today, thank God. Gave a testimony at the church he went to. Talked about that cross. Some people pick it up, get saved, walk along with it for a while, and parts of it begin to get too hard or heavy. They stop and saw off a little bit of that dedication. Feels better, pick it up, go on. In a little while, that weight becomes a little too heavy. They stop again and saw off a little bit of that cross. Take away some of that which was given to them. And on they go throughout their life. And they arrive at the end with nothing that's changing. Trade this old cross for a crown. Oh, there's going to be some that get there thinking they're carrying the cross. Then they're going to be reminded of everything they cut off of it in their past. They said it's too hard. They said it was too much to live. They said it was too much to do. And they arrived there wanting a crown, but they've got nothing to turn in. And the Lord's going to look and say, I bore my cross. I endured Calvary. Mercy flowed from me. And I left my endowment. I left it to you. My spirit I gave to you. And if I told you to pick it up, I'll help you carry it. And if you lay it down, it's you that's laid it down. If you laid it down, if you turn back in any part of your walk for God, it's not because you can't. It's because you won't. God tells you to pick it up, it's yours. If God tells you you can endure it, you can endure it. If God tells you that's your path, that's your path. Tell God I'll own it. Tell God I'll stay on it. Tell God whatever it takes. If it takes me coming back to the foot of the cross every day and every week to remember what you did, that I could have the privilege of bearing this cross, let me do it. Let me do it. Let me do it. Oh God. Love the cross. Oh God. Oh. Oh God, help us to get it. Oh God. I may not excite you today, but I want you to see the cross again. I want us to get a reminder of that which was given. It's got to be beyond an Easter story. It's not a seasonal phrasing or a change. It's got to be that which we touch every day of our lives. What's it going to be like when we do make it there? And out of mercy, God's helped us through our failings and our fallings and our mistakes and our misjudgments. And we are going to stand there one day,
yeah.
Brother Woods. We talk about it. We sing about it. We say, oh, let it be. But the mind cannot comprehend what's it going to be like to stand and hear Him call your name. Men fall in this world in front of other men when they mention their names because they say, I'm not worthy of you calling my name. I'm not worthy of being in front of you. Do you think there's going to be any man that's going to boldly walk up to the throne and say, I deserve that crown? Oh. Oh. If we've done our best, if we have done our best, to carry our cross. And we have been as diligent and careful and watchful as we possibly can in the flesh to do all that we know to do. We are going to arrive in that day and think, is this all I've done to receive all of this? Oh, man. This may not be exciting today, but it's what filled my soul. It's what filled my soul. Men lose out because what they think they've done in bearing the gospel and carrying it. They've got themselves a name, and they've got themselves a function, and they've got themselves a program or something with their name on it, you know, flying across the world or whatever that they're doing. There's something with their name on it. Hey, there's not going to be any name in that day other than the name of Jesus Christ. There's not going to be any other name lifted up on that day. We're going to be called and recognized, but all that crown that we're going to get, we're only going to hold on to it, brother, for a little while. We're only going to hold on to it for a little while. There's going to be a ringing when those crowns are cast at the feet of our Savior. There's going to be a ringing. Oh, what a sound it's going to make when those crowns go back to the one that's only deserving of honor and glory. Oh, nothing that we do says the cross that I am worthy of the cross. If I leave this nation and go to Tanzania and labor every day of my life, if I preach, if I give every last dollar, if I feed everybody that I can run into, that will never allow me to say I deserve that crown or am worthy of what Christ did for me. But you know, too many times, our lips may not say it, but our actions do.
Come on.
Our lips may not say it, but our actions do. We can drift out, get soft on God, leave out our reading, leave out our praying, leave out even when we're able to getting to God's house. Let a storm come. We run in and tell God how faithful we've been. And God, you've got to move.
Come on, brother.
Over and over and over again. Lord, I've done this. I've given. I've helped. I've labored. And this has come upon me. You've got to help me here. I've got to have. You promised me.
Man.
Thankfully, mercy still flows from Calvary. He could take up a pad. He didn't need one, but he could. And if he read to us our shortcomings, he would say, I've got no need to forgive you or answer you. But what flows from Calvary still today? Mercy and love. Where he could say, yeah, I know you've been slack and I know you've been short. But when you come back to me, when you come back to me and there's that cry that comes out again, Lord, help me. He remembers that Calvary, the day that he died for you, the day that he died for me. He says, I'll help you again. You lean on me and I'll pick you up again. You just admit that you were short. You admit that you've done wrong or maybe even sinned. You just admit it. And my hands will come around you again. And that mercy and love will reform around your spirit and life again. And I'll lift you up and you'll feel my spirit and my presence again. The world does not understand that because it's not comprehensible to this mind, but to the mind of Christ, to the one that is eternal, to the one that came for eternity past, knew that he would have to do this. He's saying again, that's the flesh that they have to bear. And when they bring it to me broken, I'll heal them. I'll heal them. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. How often did Paul write about the cross? How often did Paul try to bring that It was in the natural flesh. Only happened a few years before the writings. It was fairly new, and there were people that had lived or still alive as Paul wrote and preached these things, that if he found them, they may have been witnessed. They were living when Christ was crucified. They may have witnessed what he went through, and it stirred up in him again. We don't have that privilege today. We don't have anyone in here that can stand up and say, I was there and I saw him. But we should have a church that says, I know what he did when I came to him lost, and I came to him broken, and I came to him undeserving, and I had nothing to offer him. I was there when he saved me. I was there when he redeemed me. I was there when he gave me the best that he had. Oh God, I know this is simple preaching this today, this afternoon, I know it, but oh, if our love is short, it's because we've hid away something of the cross. If our mercy is short, it is because we blocked out some of what Christ has done for me. If our dedication is short, endurance hung on the cross. He endured the cross. He endured it from the first nail until he said, it is finished. He endured the pain. He endured the mocking. I don't know if we can ever think about what that way of sin must have felt like in his spirit as he took it upon him. And all of the things that happened that day that we know and we don't know in the realms of the spirit, the conquering that was done, that which was settled and sealed for you and I. Oh, we want to block some of it out. We're justifying ourselves and justifying our actions and justifying wrong. We've got to hide away the cross to do that. I don't want to see that endurance. I really don't want to see how merciful he was to that one that didn't deserve it. I don't want to see that because I've got one that I've got a bone to pick with, and he's got to know what's right. I don't want to see what Christ did that day. We need to take the blinders down and realize, as the angel's legion stood by to rescue him, one call, and we would have been all finished. One call, taking him from the cross. One call, he could have saved himself the endurance and the pain and the anguish and the mocking. But where would I be? Where would I be? Where would you be? Where would you have woken up this morning without mercy? What place would you have seen? What state would your mind be in today if God hadn't settled it? What state would your soul be? What would you be putting into your body? What would you be putting into your spirit? What brokenness would you be today if God said, no more of this? I don't deserve it. Cry of the gospel. It is to endure. It is to endure. It is to sacrifice with love and with mercy. Yeah. You know, some people have the attitude, yeah, I'll put up with it. It's not the cross. That's not the cross. Yeah, let them mock me. Let them go to hell. That's not the cross. That is not mercy. Not the mercy of Christ. And our command that shall, you mentioned this morning, we shall be like him. Because he died that we could be like him. That the mercy he shown, what limits? Peter wanted to find a limit. How often, Lord, do we have to forgive him? Lord said, no limit. 70 times 7, forget it. There's no limit. Peter had that, you know, I know I need to forgive, Lord, but there's only so far I can go. So, Lord, how far can I go to forgive him? Just let me know when I can cut him off. Lord said, you can't ever cut him off. know, Peter. I know your spirit. I know what you're trying to say. I know you got some things in your nature we got to work out. I'm gonna help you a little while. I'm gonna send you something in a little while to help you, Peter. Just hang on. But there's no limit to mercy. There's no limit to His love. There's no limit to where He would reach to save a soul. There's limits that will go to save a soul. But there's no place the hand of God is not trying to call out. Not trying to reach out to. Who does He use? You. He uses you. It's His voice. But He wants to speak through men and women that have received that glory. And let them be that spokesman. Because they've seen the cross. They've endured the mocking. We felt anguish over tests and trials. We had to show mercy, love. We've had to tell truth that sin is sin. It will take you to hell. I love your soul, but that sin is going to take you to hell. Will you please repent? You're not bowing to man. You're bowing to an almighty God. There is truth that must be preached. There is truth that must be stood for. There are men and women of backbone that must rise up and say there is a truth. There was a defining moment of Calvary where He said there's no other way. Sin is so black. Sin is so horrible. Sin is so far away from the Father that He cannot accept any of it. And I've got to die and be that bridge for the sins of mankind. There's one thing that will reach across that gulf of sin and life, and that's Christ. And He did it on that day. Someone comes back to the piano this afternoon. Paul goes on to say, verse number 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Oh. We're going somewhere, church. Someone said this morning, I don't know, Brother Wood, somebody said this morning, we're going somewhere. We've got a sure line that we've got to meet. We have eternity to face. We have eternity to face. That's not an option. Eternity to face is not an option for anybody in this building and anybody in that world. Eternity to face is not an option. But how we're going to face it is our option. Huh? And we're only going to do it by coming to the cross. One door, one way. One hour with the fullness of the love of the Father to give a sacrifice. The fullness of the love of the Son that said, I'll stay. I'll endure. I'll save in my pain. I'll have mercy. I'll take you to paradise. You've given me nothing but your faith and who I am. And for that faith, He said, I'll give you everything. 2,000 years, that thief has walked streets of gold. Gates of pearl have been in his vision. And the Lamb that saved him has been in his sight. And he says, I did nothing. You and I, we have opportunity. We have opportunity. We have life. We're called to die for Christ. Let it be so. But much better that we use our life and give it to Him and show this world how much He loved Him. That will serve the wicked. That will serve the scornful. That will serve those that are mocking, because we've seen the cross, because it's been revealed. Our minds are fragile, flesh is weak. It can't be revealed just one time. It's got to be a recurring event. But that cross has got to stay in our spirit and in our mind. That sacrifice is not something we salute as we walk by and go on. No, we've got to stay there. That old rugged cross. It'll never settle it in your minds, young people. The world will never love it. You won't make the cross popular. No, you won't make it popular. But you can penetrate lives. The Bible tells us real few are going to make it. The many side of that's going to be lost. But that does not give us any out to say, well, I'm just going to sit here and let them go. Our call is to go. Our call is to expend ourselves on the battlefield and carry this gospel. We stand in this, as we stand this afternoon in this house. Deliver with all my heart. That's all I can do. Sometimes our liking is because we really don't want to see how much Christ gave. Our liking and our zeal, our dedication to the house of God, to the work of God. Sometimes we just say, I don't want to see that so I can be comfortable and justify what I'm doing in my slightness. You got to tear those shades down. You got to take those glasses off. You got to see that bare cross and understand that He showed the way that we could do all that He's asked us to do. Every place He'll call you to go, He'll be there. Every word you speak and testify in His name, out of love and mercy, it'll be recorded to you as gain. If they reject you, you'll still be rewarded. Stir us up today. These words didn't help you. Go back and read it for yourself today. Read that story again. Read about it again. It's a good church here. I know the Spirit of God is here. I've felt it. I've been here. I have felt it today, knowing what God wants to do. But there's another step we can take. We like the step where it's comfortable. We can say, I've given this, I'm comfortable right here. But there's another step you can take out of comfort. Where it takes effort. It takes effort. It takes strength that you don't have to get there. But then God, to offer His mercy, the flesh can't do it. To offer His love, the flesh can't do it. We have got to be surrendered, not just to inconvenience or death, but we must be surrendered to the death of the cross. Our lives must say, I'm not going to go just that far. I'll go all the way. My commitment, my zeal, my dedication. I'm going to release the holds that have held me back. I'm going to surrender myself to that mind and that spirit and let Him guard me and guide me. These altars are open today. God wants to help you. God wants to add to you. God wants to add to this church, but He wants to add to your spirit so you're strong enough to bear it, strong enough to endure. And He's ready to add today. He's ready to help you today. These altars are open. Come on.